This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7, where we left off last time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Before we begin, I want to remind everybody that my twin friend Scott is still meeting me here at my school in Cocoa, Florida, every Thursday from 12 noon until 2 p.m. You may walk in and we'll pray for you. You do not have to have an appointment on Thursdays, or you may call on the phone from anywhere in the world. I will answer the phone Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Prayer for you. Wednesday has been changed from 6:30 to 6 p.m. Word and warrior prayer, and Sunday at 5 p.m. And now Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7. Last week, Paul, and it was in about 62 A.D., stepped up to the world, stage front and center, and said, some people were chosen by God from the foundation of the world. And that was in verse 4. So we went to the manuscripts and broke down all of those words. Chosen means elected, selected, assigned to give an appointment. Foundation is a Greek word, katabole, Satan's rebellion, when Satan said, I will be God, Isaiah 14. And the world is eon, Greek age, in the first earth age. So he says that some people were chosen by God, his election, before, during the time when Satan rebelled in the first earth age. 2 Peter 3:6-8 tells that there are three earth and heaven ages. This same Paul over in Revelation, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 was actually taken up into the third heaven and earth age. It's the same planet, just dispensations of time. And we learned last week that all of us were with God, Ecclesiastes 12:6-7. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. But we were in a spiritual body, and there was no sin, there was no death. We're all created the same age. We're all just worshiping, singing with the Lord. Job 38:40, right on there, talks about us singing and dancing before the Lord. But one day Satan got rebellious and said, I will be God. That's the catapult. Paul taught us that. And he stole God's children. The children betrayed God, and that was high treason in heaven. But there was a small group of people there in our spiritual bodies that got up and fought against Satan, Revelation 12, and to try to protect our God. So God had a judgment. Everybody was guilty except the elect. The rest are called free willers. And so then Jesus stood up to the plate and said, let us make man in our image. Let us make all of you, he's talking to Elohim, God and the angels, let us make you a human body, and I'm going to do away with the first earth age, Jeremiah 45, Isaiah 8, and I'm going to bring in this second one with the memory forgotten, and all of you who betrayed me, you can come in, and I'm giving you a second chance, because Jesus says, I too, in the volume of the book it is written to me, I too will take a body, and I too will come in, and I will pay the sin debt so you may repent, you may ask forgiveness, and you may come back. But for those of you who are predestined, Romans 8 told, we talked about that last week, the just, the elect, I'm sending out a small remnant of you in every generation to be the bearers of truth. And that's where we left off last time. Now, in other words, to understand the mystery of God, you will never understand until you know that there was an earth age before this one.
Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood.
So Jesus said, right then, in that first earth age, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. He saw the sin. So he says, I'm going to take me a body, and I'm going to pay the sin debt so I can get you to come back to God. Now, keep in mind, we have two classifications here. We've got the elect in every generation, and there was the remnant, and that was Paul and all of those, and Pastor Arnold Murray was a remnant, the very elect are here at the end to stand up against Satan. And then we have those who I call them free willers. All who betrayed him have free choice. God's not going to make you get saved, but he's going to give you every chance to do that. So Jesus says, I will come and I will redeem you. I will buy you back again. I will purchase you. Peter says you're bought with gold, not gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Why the blood? Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and the life is in the blood. So Jesus did his part, and he also took a body and came in the secondary age. See, it was when we were made human that the garden began. But life began in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, when Satan rebelled. We were in a spiritual body. Keep that very clear, or you may be saved, but you'll go around in a fog the rest of your life.
According to the riches of his grace.
Grace, unmerited favor, which is love, God loved. See, he could have killed all of those children. That was high treason. And then he could have made him some more children. But no, he loved everybody.
Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom.
That's interesting about wisdom. Max just read a scripture from Proverbs chapter 2 there about wisdom. And you know wisdom comes from God. So what he's saying here, I am sending mine elect out, and they are going to bear the oracles of truth. My elect have the wisdom. I will give them the wisdom. I will give them the mind of Christ to understand all mysteries and knowledge of the first earth age, of the seduction in the garden, of the fallen angels, of the order of the trumps. I will give you wisdom. And then you may tell the whosoever willers and the free willers, and then they may have the wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Above all, get wisdom.
Amen. And prudence. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed to himself.
See, God is totally in charge. His whole purpose then in bringing us in the second time was not so you could have a dog and a cat and a family and a truck and a job and have fun. It was because you either betrayed him then and you get a second chance, or you stood up for him and now you sin in to help everybody else get the truth. This is the purpose of this second. He purposed it to bring us back to him. See, we were like married. We were one. Don't think sex and man and wife, but we were one. There was no break. There was no division. And if Jesus is the head and we the church of the body, boy, that's got to be a big breach, hasn't it?
Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time.
So he tells us in verse 10 his purpose.
We might gather together in one all things in Christ.
Okay, in the dispensation of time. So in the dispensation of the second earth age, in the dispensation of the fifth trump of the book of Revelation, which is a time of learning, I am blowing it right now. That's why you're hearing this. Many of you have never heard this before in your life. And then in the dispensation of the time of learning, the sixth trump, when the Antichrist shall appear. It's not a trumpet blowing, it's an event, an action. The Antichrist will come in the sky calling himself Savior, deceive the whole world, deceive half the body of Christ. However, good news, Mark 13, Jesus has shortened that time for the elect's sake. And then the dispensation of the seventh trump, the Lord Jesus himself will appear, that what he might gather together in himself. Remember, we're separated. The whole purpose and plan of God, all of this stuff on this second earth age, all that's been going on all these thousands of years, this is so we can get back to him.
Both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. 11.
In other words, when Jesus comes, he is bringing saints with him from heaven. He's bringing the elect with him. They're preparing now. And then those of us who will not be deceived by Antichrist, we're going to be here on earth. We'll change into our spiritual body. They are already being their spiritual body. We cannot perceive them. They've already changed. And so Jesus will come right here on planet earth, right in Mount Zion there in Jerusalem. He's not flying out. He's staying here. and preparing for the 1,000 years millennium teaching. His saints are coming with him. Heaven, they're gathered, and then we're gathered together. Hallelujah. Yeah. And there'll be Paul, and there'll be David, and there'll be Samuel. And I bet you, Pastor Arnold Murray, hallelujah, some of our loved ones.
Whom also we have obtained an inheritance.
We've received an inheritance. Actually, we inherit eternal life. Now, we do know in the book of Ezekiel, which gives us more prophecy of the millennium and of the future heaven on earth, we know that everybody who's going to be saved in the eternal third heaven and earth age, which will be earth rejuvenated, paradise restored, that everybody's going to be given an allotment, a property on planet earth, and it'll be beautiful, no sickness, in other words, just wonderful. But the elect's inheritance will be God.
Being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
So you see, God's will is being completed. One thing about Jesus, he sits on the throne, and he's not afraid of ISIS. He's not afraid of the corruption of the government. He's not afraid of the Antichrist. He saw what's happened. He spoke it. He wrote it in a book. And so he's looking forward to this gathering, and he's working with his elect. He interferes in the elect's life to say, listen, it's time for you to step on this stage. It's time for you to teach this book, it's time for you to do that. And he's drawing the whosoever will us, and he's working it all according to his counsel. Everything's right on schedule with God.
Amen. 12, and we would be to the praise of his glory.
Now this is interesting. When we get to verse 12, the we here in the Greek is very emphatic in the Greek, and it means the elect, not everybody. Remember now, we got the elect, and Paul is an elect, and he's doing the mystery of the elect. He's explaining this in this chapter, in this whole book. And so we would be the elect, very emphatic. But now you're going to hear there's another classification. We're going to hear the ye's are the free willers. Does that make anybody better than anybody? No, God loves all of his children. If you betrayed him then, think how much he loves you. Could have annihilated you. He's giving you a second chance, and then you can come back home and be just like the elect. I mean, you know, come on, you can do that. But the elect are sent to teach. So he says, we. Now he's speaking to the elect only at this point.
Who first trusted in
him. The elect are called the first fruits, because in the first earth age, the elect were the first ones to stand up and fight against Satan, Revelation 12. You know, doesn't it make your heart warm that you don't have to say to a true friend, please speak up for me. Why didn't you say that person shouldn't hurt you like that? I mean, who wants it? Don't you like a friend? They would just automatically stand up for you. See, that would be a true friend.
13. In whom ye also trusted after you heard.
Ah, the ye. Now, Paul separates the we's from the ye's. Nobody's better than anybody. Everybody's got a job. Everybody take your place. We the elect. Now, we are here to pronounce the word of God. And in other words, great is the company of those that publish it. Pronounce, announce the word of God. The elect, all elect are that too. It doesn't mean that you have to be a preacher or a pastor or anything, but you're pronouncing the word of God, the truth, in many very different ways. But he says, we brought the word to you. You, the free willers, you have free choice. God's not going to make you get saved. So we bring it to you. That's what the elect do. If you're an elect, you can't wait to tell somebody the truth. You can't wait to get them. You love to tell the story.
The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
God's spell, gospel. And you know that gospel is Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. And it tells you all of these mysteries of a God we were separated from, and he wants us to remarry him and come home.
In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, and I'm so glad you heard the word, ye there. He's saying to Ephesus, you people, I preach the word to you. Doesn't that feel good? You tell somebody and they get saved. It's so wonderful. And then you will see it with the Holy Spirit. Now, The Holy Spirit is Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something, that when you repented of your sins and you got saved, Jesus' Holy Spirit came inside of you and sealed you. And he's about to say, let me get this one right here, okay?
A promise. 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance.
Okay. He sealed you, and that word earnest in the Greek means a down payment. The Holy Spirit came and sealed you. It's like you buy a house, you got to make a down payment. They won't give that house to anyone else. It's a guarantee that you have eternal life. But now, I want to explain something, that baptism, that Holy Spirit coming in you, is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I have a baptism with which to baptize you, the baptism of fire. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. The elect must be firebrands. We must have the fire of God. God is a consuming fire. The elect will sizzle and crackle. And wherever we go, we change the atmosphere. There's a passion. There's a white hot, red hot power in us. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of like a big bottle of smart water. And you just got about an inch in the bottom there. And you say, I got water in my bottle, but look how much you got to fill up. So when you got saved, you got the inch in your smart bottle. But you got to be filled with fire. And this is available for the free willers. You know how you do it? You give all of your will to Holy Spirit. I know you say I'm doing that, but you still driving the car. You still directing it. You still sitting like this. You haven't gone crazy and given all up for Jesus, have you? Surrender it all. Free as you'll ever be. Do it today.
Amen.
Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
Okay, he goes about talking about redemption, the purchase, and I purchased you there. So the Holy Spirit seals you. It's like a down payment. It's a guarantee. You know, that's interesting, though, that word earnest. Don't forget that. As scholars, you want to remember that means a down payment, a pledge, or a guarantee. You know how that feels so good when the Holy Spirit touches you? Everybody understands? Say, yes. Okay. It feels so good. I'm thinking, boy, if when the Holy Spirit touches me, hallelujah, hallelujah, he's touching me right now. His left hand's under my head. His right hand embrace me. If this is a down payment, I can't wait to get it all. Whoa, wow, what an ecstasy. See, that's love.
Amen.
Back one with the Father.
15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, 16, cease not to give thanks for you.
Now, another sign of the elect. We can't wait to tell the word. Everybody we meet, we look and see, are you saved? And if they're not saved, we start planning that word and praying. And then when they get saved, then we pray for them some more. We thank God they got saved. And then we watch over them. We become a little under shepherd for them. And we help them, and we help them grow. And we disciple in the word, and we pray for them. Always an elect not only sows the word of God and wins souls to Jesus, but an elect is an intercessory prayer. An elect prays more for others than for oneself. When I was a little girl, I played the piano at the Baptist church there and given my life to the Lord in the beautiful song called Others. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be, that even as I kneel to pray, my prayer might be for others.
Making mention of you in my prayers. 17, but the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom.
And he says, I'm praying for you. You had betrayed him. You've accepted him now. Your sins are forgiven. And I'm praying for you now that you will get wisdom of God's word. Solomon says, get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, with the Lord. And get wisdom. You get it from God's word. And the Holy Spirit now becomes your paraclete, your teacher. He walks beside you, and he knows everything about everything. He is omniscient. He knows everything about everything. I love that about him. And see, so there's nothing that you need to know that you can, you ask him. I do it all the time in studying, and always reveals it. So the elect says, I'm praying that you will get the wisdom. See, I'm praying that all of the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people hearing this today, you've never heard of the first earth age. You thought that was some kind of reincarnation. No, reincarnation is not true. But we were with God, and nothing makes any sense unless you go back to there. God would never have dropped us on this cruel, evil world to sink or swim like this, even because somebody did something wrong in a garden. There. The garden was because of the first earth age, and I'm praying you get the wisdom of that. It changes your life. Yes. You're not so stuck with my four and no more, and my little job and my little self. You see the overall purpose. This time in the second earth age is one dot. There was a long line in eternity. You're with God. This is a dot to choose Jesus or the devil or to teach. And then there's a long line there. Don't get so wrapped up in this dot. Just do what you're supposed to be so you can get on with eternal life.
And revelation and the knowledge of him.
And revelation. Now the same Paul would write in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, Paul wrote about half the New Testament. God wrote it through him. He said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. This same Paul, God took him in the future to the third earth age, when after the lake of fire, after the great white throne judgment, when everything's rejuvenated and the heavenly Jerusalem's down here on earth. So he saw all of that. But he also says that I pray that you will understand the book of Revelation. In Isaiah 29, God says at the end of time that God's people are going to be sottish, kind of asleep, kind of a spirit of stupor. And he says, but I'm going to give them a vision. And the vision is the book of Revelation. So we have it, right? And he said, then people are going to come and say, teach me Revelation. Teach me the vision. And the preacher will say, I don't know how to do Revelation. Besides, we don't need that. We're going to fly away. But I can tell you, Paul says, I'm praying for you. If an elect is before you, an elect will understand the book of Revelation. Incidentally, you may get it, Trumpet of Truth, WMIEFM.com, on demand, the entire book of Revelation. And as God opens a nationwide platform for Scott and me to bring this message to the whole wide world, I am going to personally see that the body of Christ every now and then gets the entire book of Revelation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then he said, and to know him. See, many of you, you say, I know about Jesus. I read about him. I see a picture of him. I heard about him, I believe. But do you know him intimately? Is he in you and you in him? Do you feel him? Do you feel his emotions? Do you feel his humor? Do you feel his tears? This is an intimate relationship.
Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened.
This is such a beautiful statement. It's a beautiful way to pray for people that are not understanding things, that have the spirit of stupor. Paul calls it a spirit of slumber over their eyes. We ask that they take the blinders off and begin to understand the mystery of God.
That you may know what is the hope of his calling.
In other words, you who are the free willers, now that you understand and as you realize that he loved you so much that he came in, is giving you another chance and has placed an elect before you who would love you and bring you in, then that should give you hope and to realize that he's calling you. Jesus says, many are called, but few are chosen. There just aren't that many elect. Most everybody betrayed God. But then when you answer the call, you have the hope, and you can become the next best thing.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints.
In the saints. And once again, Ezekiel gives us that whole plot of land. The kings and queens of the ethnos are going to have their beautiful properties, the 12 tribes right before the throne, right there in the throne, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God's elect, David the prince, etc. The Zadok. Everybody's got their portion, but the elect inherit God. But you know, if the elect inherit God, that means God inherits the elect. So that's a happy story.
19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe?
Okay. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I like to tell the three O's of God, one I just mentioned a while ago. Omniscient. God is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything about everything. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. There's no place you can hide from him. And God is omnipotent, unlimited power. He created the heavens and the earth, the planets, the stars. He created your liver. What a powerful God.
According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand.
The greatest power was that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you know what Jesus did? He went and sat down at the right hand of God. Now, I told you the kingdom is at hand. That means, here's your hand. Hold your hand up. Okay, wherever you go, your hand goes with you, right? So, the kingdom is at hand. Wherever you go, the kingdom is there. A kingdom is a king in his dominion. You're his dominion, I'm his dominion, and he reigns. He sits on the throne. He's not standing up. He's sitting because he said it is finished. The kingdom is at hand. And there he has all of this power. Do you know what Romans says Jesus is doing in the right hand of God? Ever living to make intercession for you. And you know what he does when he prays for you? He's not only an advocate between you and the Father when you sin and repent. He'll say, Father, they believe in me, and so forgive them. He's also comes as an advocate between you and your enemies. When the enemy comes in hard like you, like a flood, Jesus comes and stands right there between you, and the enemy can't touch you. Your enemies become his enemies. Hallelujah. Now that's power. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. Now why were you depressed?
In the heavenly places.
In the heavenly places. Remember, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places.
Verse 21. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. In every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come.
Hebrews 2:14 says, Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil. So Jesus won, and he's sitting there. And he says, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. That's why the devil's always trying to take the air out of our voices, to shut our voices, to keep from speaking the word, or to interfere with our media ministry, the airwaves and so forth. But Jesus has the power. Now, remember, the kingdom is at hand, and you're in the kingdom now, and so you are supposed to act like a king's kid. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, get it down, Luke 10:19, 18:19, right in there, Luke 10. He says, behold, you, not only you elect, but you free willers. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, A-L-L-O. Over serpents and scorpions. That means devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you're in the kingdom now, and you have the authority. You have access to the kingdom. You also have the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, who will pray through you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. I mean, 25,000 demons coming at you is a piece of cake in the name of Jesus with his blood. But see, we cower, we run, and we call everybody in town, and we quake, and we try to outrun the hurricane, when the hurricane is a demon and we can rebuke it in Jesus' name. When will we learn? We are supernatural now. We're immortal now. We're in a flesh body. I'm talking about those of us who saved. Eternal life, we got the guarantee. We got the earnest. It's written down.
Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet.
Now, I think that's fitting, because in Genesis 3:15, remember I gave you that scripture to memorize, God told the serpent, which is the devil, he said, your seed shall bruise his heel. And it was the children of the devil, the Kenites, who pretend to be our beloved Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. That said, crucify him, crucify him. And they nailed Jesus' feet to a cross. So now, he's resting his feet on the enemy. Do you know that you can just bruise the head of the enemy. That head can't even bite you.
And made him to be the head over all things to the church.
Okay, so now he says, he arose, he's sitting there, we're kids in the kingdom, the price has been paid, we have a few little things to work out, but remember it's all written down. And Jesus is the head of the church. Everybody got it?
23, which is his body, the fullness of him, filleth all in all.
And we, the church, are the body. So you see in the first earth age, the head and the body were together. There was no division. And that was us in our spiritual bodies and God. Satan came and broke that body apart. So we have to come through all of this. Jesus pays the sin debt. And then when you repent of your sins, he washes those sins away and buries your sinfully dirty sins in the sea of forgetfulness, puts you back together again like Humpty Dumpty and all is well. I'll give you a beautiful illustration. Yesterday I was vacuuming the studio with a great vacuum cleaner the marvelous Mersons gave me for Christmas. It's a really neat vacuum cleaner. It just looks like one piece. There are no kind of jiggy-jag things going out there. It's just wonderful. I love it. So I did my little vacuuming, but then I realized I had some dirt in there and I had to get it out. So the way you do this, you push a button and you break it half in two. I have the head of the vacuum cleaner and I have the body of the vacuum cleaner. And man, I got dirt. I got to empty the dirt out of that vacuum cleaner, and that's not enough. And that would be Jesus taking your sins, throwing them in the sea of forgetfulness. Then I take a cloth and I wipe it off. Jesus took your filthy rags, washed them clean in his blood. Then you know what I did then? I reconnected them. We're back one. You look at that vacuum cleaner, you'd never know it was broken. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said in John 17 that they may be one as we are one. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Be one with God again. Praise ye the Lord. We'll begin right there, Ephesians chapter 2 next week. But it's time now for Mystery Moment. Don't you like that title? Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And I would like to introduce the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Sherry. How you doing?
Great.
That was great. That'll restore some vision and understanding.
I hope so. It's powerful, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. Okay, our first question. Why did Jesus tell his disciples that it would be better that he go away for a while?
Okay, Jesus had just told his disciples, he was trying to let them know he was going to pay the sin debt and leave them physically. They didn't want that because they were thinking they wanted him to be with them. And so then, you know, they would walk together and fish together and heal together and everything. While Jesus is very God, a very God, that means true God, true God, Jesus also expressed as very man, a very man, true man, true man. He was tempted in all points like you and I, yet without sin. So for him to go away from the body, which limits what he could do, I mean, in other words, he could only go this far in a boat, this far on the land, so forth, as the Holy Spirit, he can be omniscient. The Holy Spirit is everywhere all at the same time and is available for every yielded Christian, every yielded vessel. And so then there isn't any place you can go where you would not have the power of God. So that's much better.
Amen, okay. Amen. That gives us that understanding as he dwells in us too.
Yes.
Gives us that understanding of spiritual stuff.
That's right.
Okay, our next question. Does wait on the Lord mean to give him some time, more time? What does that mean?
Not really. Wait on the Lord is used a lot, especially in the book of Psalms. The word in the Hebrew, that would be Hebrew, means to entwine. Entwine with the Lord. Jesus said of himself in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branch. So we are to wait or entwine with the vine. Have you ever noticed a vine how it curves around like that? Okay, like the scroll, the Word of God wraps around. You are to entwine with the vine. Wrap yourself in the Word of God. Say the Word, sing the Word, pray the Word, live in the Word, walk in the Word. And really, if you would do that, that Word itself will through you answer your prayer and produce fruit. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I love that. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
God promised he would give us the treasures of darkness and the concealed riches of heavenly places so we would know it is the Lord who calls us by name. Contend for the treasures. Contend for the riches. For in these the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14 and Isaiah 45:3.
That is so great. Contend. Strive for it. Push. Push for the fire. Don't give up until you have it, because you're missing. You're just drinking this much and you got this much. Well, I'm going to pray for all of you who are sick, but just before I do, let me pray for anyone who is lost. Please pray this prayer after me. Jesus died for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash my sins away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash my sins away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your kingdom.
To enlarge your kingdom.
Fill me with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Give me wisdom of your word.
Give me wisdom of your word.
And let me know Jesus intimately.
Let me know Jesus intimately.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Please call and leave a message. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you arise with healing in your wings. And we speak to sinus infections and allergies, and we ask that the airways in between the air and the sinus, those passages, the throat, the lungs, be opened up. Let the Holy Ruach breathe in there and clear those passages, and let the breath come through. We pray for lungs, that anywhere there is a disease in the lungs, that it be healed. Hearts be healed. We pray for the backbone and spine and vertebrae, that they be perfectly aligned. We pray for kidneys and stomachs to be healed and bladder. We pray for the blood to be healed. We pray for brains to be healed and tumors to be gone off of brains. We pray for deaf ears to see and blind eyes to see. We pray for backbones, the brain stem of the backbone, for hips and legs and feet and toes, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He sent his word and healed you. Praise ye the Lord. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Now, when my announcer gives you my telephone number, you might like to call and tell me that you were healed. Well, your love line of the week, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, is Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Praise ye the Lord. Now don't forget, the Thursday, 12 noon to 2 p.m., you may walk in or you may call on the phone for prayer. I'll answer live. Wednesday, 6 p.m., move that up. Sundays, 5 p.m. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. And be sure to go and blow the trumpet of truth. Thank you.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
It's just I stand here and watch the sunrise, follow the mountains where they touch the sky, ponder the vastness in the depths of the sea, and think for a moment the point of it all was to make much of me. 'Cause I'm just a whisper and you are the thunder, and I wanna make much of you, Jesus. I wanna make much of your love. I wanna live today to give you the praise that you alone are so worthy of. I wanna make much of your mercy. I wanna make much of your cross. I give you my life, take it and let it be used to make much of you. And how can I kneel here and think of the cross, the thorns and the whip and the nails and the spear, infinite cost to purchase my pardon and bear all my shame, and think I have anything worth boasting in except for your name? 'Cause I am a sinner and you are the same.
Changes not thy compassions,
they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
You are listening to WMIE, Brevard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
It is good to praise you, Lord, and make music to your name, O Most High. It is good to praise you, Lord, and make music to your name, O Most High, O Most High. Mm-hmm. good to praise you, Lord, and make music to your name, O Most High. It is good to praise you, Lord, and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim
your name.